DeMarco Show.
And I'm awesome!
With Greg DeMarco.
This is my temple!
And Patrick Godel.
You're welcome!
And so we're getting played from the hands of the creator. Locust devouring all the hocus pocus.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Take the fish.
And I love you, Greg.
You just made the list.
This is my yard now.
That sound does mean we are here. We are live. It is me, Greg DeMarco, at ChairShotGreg on the Twitter. I finally made the plunge and changed the Twitter handle to at ChairShotGreg. I have not noticed any difference, so obviously it was A-OK to make that change. Of course, I fancy myself as the King Solomon of the internet wrestling community, the man behind everybody else at thechairshot.com. You can follow that at thechairshot.com on the Twitter as well. But as everybody here knows, I never do this alone. Oh, no. There's always somebody else who's here with me. And that is, of course, my best friend at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNG Realist. He is the Bill Belichick to my Tom Brady. He's going to hate that one, but that's okay. Patrick O'Dowd.
You accusing me of, not being very good with the media? I am actually wearing a hoodie, so I guess that's appropriate.
See?
It does still have the sleeves, though. I didn't do that, like, cut-off sleeve thing that he does.
No, but you didn't go sleeveless hoodie? Oh, that would have been good.
No, not there yet. I don't have a problem with Bill Belichick. I just, I'm a Bears fan, but, like, I don't really particularly hate the Patriots. I hate Boston radio. I hate Boston sports radio, and I don't really like Patriot fans. I think those people are kind of awful. But the Patriots themselves and Bill Belichick, like, the best football coach, period. Like, he's the best football coach in America, period.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. And there's no denying that. It's a Bill Belichick, Nick Saban world, and we're all living.
There you go.
So there's no two better coaches, you know. Dabo Sweeney notwithstanding. He's
Dabo Sweeney. No,
we'll see what happens here in a few days when they play each other.
Yeah, we will.
But this is not a college football or NFL podcast. Oh, no. This is, of course, professional wrestling. Our number one goal, if you're just now tuning in for the very first time, we view it as our job to help you enjoy the wrestling product more. And sometimes that comes with some hard facts, Patrick O'Dowd, and some tough messages that people need to absorb, but we will take the hit. We will deliver the tough messages when needed.
I don't know that they're particularly tough. They're not tough for us. Like
no, they're just, tough to just, hear though, and they're tough for others.
I get it, but that's just because they're not grounded in reality. Like there's a reason.
Right.
There's a reason that my moniker is the Wrestling Realist. It's because I'm grounded in reality.
Exactly, and that's why you are here to help keep everybody sane, keep everybody's seat on the ground, because wrestling fans like to live with their heads
golly.
In the clouds. And, of course, you can react to that. You're allowed.
I can react to what?
You were starting to react to the head in the clouds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, and it's not like certain websites like the Chair Shot won't ever encourage some of that. The Twitter. I was following y'all on Raw. I saw what happened on Twitter. I saw something show up. You know what I'm talking about. You know.
I don't actually.
Oh, you didn't? At some point during Raw, right, not long after the opening, I do believe it was your beloved, you know, chairshot.com Twitter handle that posted the, and I'm sure it was jokingly, but people ran with it, CM Punk returning for WrestleMania 34. Do you not recall this?
No, we did not post that at all. No, we didn't post that one bit.
Something. Oh, hold on. I'm going back. I'm going to find it.
You have to go back.
I'm going
to
find it.
You need to be prepared for these shows and not.
Give it
to the show.
Well, this was something I was you set this up, and so I was riffing it a little bit. So this wasn't
this isn't
in the rundown. We've got a rundown. You know the rundown.
We do have a rundown. We do.
This is my yard now.
And a new soundbite. And it's Christmas, and Christmas delivered new soundbites. Really, just that one. And a new show opening, by the way.
So
here
it is.
Very excited about.
Chair Shot Radio.
See, completely different.
Completely different.
And yes,
retweeted by the Chair Shot / thechairshot.com.
You know, retweets are not endorsements, Patrick Redown. Come on.
Yeah, it might as well be. Yeah, whatever. It's got your name on it. The best in the world returns WWE Raw with a picture of our good friend. I'm apparently supposed to call him CM Punk.
Yes.
Found
yeah,
prominently
was
in
that.
Your
that
Twitter
was totally
feed.
Facetious.
Small scroll that doesn't matter, dude. Doesn't matter. You know this. We once jokingly said we heard Homicide say he was going to ECW and set off an arena. You know that you can't do that with these people. You just can't do it. You can't do it as a joke. You know why? Because when you do it as a joke, somebody's going to write an article about it. Somebody's probably, you know what? Where's the Observer? Like, where's the newsletter? We should look it up. Because I'm sure it's in there. It's going to be, you know, your tacit endorsement.
Shut your dumb mouth.
Never.
He
can't stop
it. Only did that because they were in Chicago and the fans were chanting it. It
had
nothing to do with any real prediction.
No, it doesn't have to. I knew. I saw it. I knew. Like, I'm not an idiot. I know. But
and,
we're about to talk about
PC,
a couple of things.
And
people are idiots.
Right, but that's PC Tunney tweeting that when Raw is in, and that's who runs the Chair Shot Radio Twitter, and he was live tweeting during Raw, which he rarely gets the opportunity to do. It, in no way is that going to incite people reporting that CM Punk is going to return at WrestleMania 34. That's just insane.
You keep telling yourself that you won't set folks off, sir. It's okay. you keep clinging to that dream. You keep holding on to that belief.
You're reaching for straws at this point. You're grasping for
not
straws.
Really.
And,
it's
and
not
trying
a straw
to
grasp.
Call things out.
I'm saying people will believe anything, and that is part of why why we're in the business that we're in. Actually, to be honest, is because people will reach for anything. So stoke in the fire, even a little
so,
bit.
So let me. So you said people will believe anything. Is that correct?
Sure.
Good.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
That, of course, was the beautiful voice of the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux. Since people will believe anything, Patrick Redoubt, I figured I might as well play that so people will believe it.
I mean, I know you believe it, so...
I mean, why wouldn't I? People will believe anything. Patrick,
this is my yard now.
Boy,
we're
you're really
because we don't
wear it out the road.
You know how it is. You know how
this is my yard now.
Something like that.
We gotta use it. That's just how it works, man. We gotta use it. That you can't put these things to waste. And we also put to waste this theme song.
Agencies around the world are receiving breaking news that CM Punk has sneezed while at a hockey game, which clearly indicates he has signed a new contract with WWE. He then confirmed his return by tweeting something completely unrelated to wrestling. Backstage sources believe he'll come back at SummerSlam, but plans may change.
Patrick, this is Leigh Emery, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick Adele.
Oh, no, just no. Bullshit.
The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week.
It's it's funny. It's not really of the week anymore. It's just kind of the
week. No.
Applicable.
Yeah,
it sure is applicable.
It did, and I'm just gonna tell you right now. I'm flipping the rundown for purely special reasons, selfish reasons. I'm totally making this one about me because I really, we've got two things to talk about, two little pieces of bullshit that we're gonna talk about.
Two little pieces, and just so the people know, this is some bullshit. This bullshit right here is but one.
Yeah, so, I'm a little riled up, but like I said, I'm flipping the order from what it says on your rundown. We're actually going to start with a report that came from ProWrestlingSheet.com, and it's
so
titled.
So you're changing the order. You're changing.
I made a
you're
call.
Going different order. Oh,
this is my yard now.
I made a call.
This is your yard now. That's okay.
That's right. I made a call. This lovely article is titled "Ronda Rousey's Royal Rumble Update." Pro Wrestling Sheet has learned information that sheds some light on what every wrestling fan currently wants to know. Will Ronda Rousey appear in the WWE Women's Royal Rumble? For those unaware, Ronda is set to star in a movie with Mark Wahlberg. Blah, 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 blah. Began filming last month in Atlanta. The crew is scheduled to resume filming for an extended period of time in Colombia after the holidays are over. The location information was confirmed by a crew member, unnamed, but there is a link, who posted an Instagram picture this week with the caption, "See you in a couple of weeks, hashtag Bogota, hope you're ready for us, hashtag something else." Unable to confirm when filming concludes in Bogota, but one source says it is after the Rumble, which would make an appearance on January 28th in Philadelphia difficult. In addition, we're told an actual deal hasn't been hammered out yet. And while WWE has informed Rousey's team of their interest in her for the future, we're told it's unlikely she'll make an appearance at the Rumble unless an actual deal is signed beforehand. For what it's worth, though, our sources say something could always be worked out in the final hour to pull off a big surprise. So keep your fingers crossed! Exclamation point.
This is my favorite. I love when they do this because it's like, we're going to go hard in on Ronda Rousey not being in the Rumble. Hard in, hard in, hard in. Oh, but just in case, here's the last paragraph. It's like, we're going to go hardcore. You clicked on the link. You're buying everything we're saying. And then it's a big giant fuck you to everybody reading the article because we really have nothing. And we're going to pepper our reputation just in case because we can't possibly be wrong. And now, if she shows up in the Rumble, they're not wrong. If she doesn't show up in the Rumble, they're not wrong. And it's too much about being not wrong. And we're afraid to be not wrong because then people question the validity of your quote-unquote sources. Because we all know when sources dry up, sources are made up. The little rhyme that can help people understand exactly how internet wrestling news works. I thought you were going to get fired up about this, not me.
No, I'm not fired up about that one at all. Like, I'm a little fired up.
I know how much you love,
like,
the other one.
But here's the thing is, this article is basically the intro to our segment. Like, if you listen to the little British guy doing his news report, that's basically what he did, except instead of CM Punk, put in Ronda Rousey's name, and you've got basically the same article. And so, like, there's nothing of any credit there except for the Instagram post, which just confirms that they're filming this movie. And so, really, just take it at face value that she's not going to be there. Because I'm sorry, she's filming a movie in Bogota. You have the information. Like, you have it.
Right. But then just say that. But here's the thing. How do we know she's in the scenes that are in Bogota? Like, my favorite movie ever made is Ocean's 11. And the remake of it. I love it. I've watched it over 100 times, easy. Okay, it's been out long enough. I used to watch it every Wednesday. It was like part of this weekly ritual that I had. And then I walked to the post office and got the mail. It's what I did. Living in Arizona, you could do it 12 months out of the year. It was great. However, if you watch the commentary, they talk about the filming in Chicago. And Matt Damon talked about how they were barely in Chicago long enough. Like, they had they got there on one day. We'll say it's a Wednesday. Had the arrival cast party, filmed on Thursday, And the only main characters from the movie were Matt Damon and George Clooney. And then on Friday, had the departure cast party and left. And no one else from the film went to Chicago to film because they weren't needed for those scenes. It is entirely possible Ronda Rousey could still appear in the Royal Rumble, regardless of the filming for this movie that's going on.
Sure.
But it's just it's just creating news where there's not. And that just bugs me to no end. And that's why I, you know, to pull back the curtain, I sent this to Patrick O'Dowd, and I was like, you love this one. But really, it was self-serving because I loved it because of the fact that it was so much bullshit and because of the peppering at the end. And we always love our news seasoned with pepper, Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, you know, cover that ass. Cover it up so that, you know, you can keep your website going just a little bit longer. Is there even a name attached to this? There's not even somebody I can, like, scold for this.
Oh, it's Pro Wrestling Sheet. It's Ryan Satin.
Oh, there it is.
Mr. TMZ.
Oh, Ryan Satin, there you are.
Pro Wrestling Sheet. That got, it's, and, which is really funny, by the way. Let's talk about Ryan Satin for a second. This is the guy who's
talking
to TMZ.
Oh, no.
Of course, knows how all that stuff works, right? 100% knows how everything works. Went off on Chris Jericho several weeks back about the fact that he talked about bikini-clad women being on his cruise and obviously trying to capitalize on the feminist movement going on right now, which is very important and very applicable, and he's trying to capitalize on it for his own good. He tweeted something out not too long ago making fun of somebody or whatever, and it was about Cody Rhodes and the fact that Cody Rhodes told the Zack Ryder story. And the fact that, you know, and then Cody said, you know, it was the famous picture where Cody, Zack Ryder, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Beth Phoenix, Kofi Kingston, Matt Sydal all held championships at the same time 6 years ago in the WWE. And he told a story about how, you know, CM Punk said the picture is only for us, not to send it out, and that Zack Ryder was the one that tweeted it out. Then Cody later said, like a few minutes later, said, oh, I was just corrected. It was Punk himself who sent it out. And then he made fun, and he completely owned Zack Ryder anyway on Twitter. So a couple of days later, something gets sent out, and Ryan Satin joking around, he's like, oh, you know, this was for private use only, but Zack Ryder already tweeted it out. And I reply back, hey, that was already refuted. And he was like, oh, I'm just trying to have fun, man. Like, pick either you're hardcore one way or hardcore the other way, or you're completely fucking fake. And that's where he is. He's completely fucking fake.
I do love, I'm back to the article, I do love that they did have the gall to plaster the word exclusive across the graphic as if this was like some super special secret information that couldn't be readily found anywhere else.
But they are the ones who put two and two together first, and they do deserve credit for that, and that's fine. Leave it at that. But the whole second half is bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I can find most of the filming information that you're talking about. As a wrestling fan, you can find that on IMDb, io9. There's a bunch of different websites.
You
know, Gawker
but
website.
They did it first.
Well,
they did it.
They did it enough and cared enough to post about it. Let's say that.
Right, because it wasn't really news. I mean, it is news because people care about whether or not Ronda Rousey is going to make an appearance in the Women's Royal Rumble.
Absolutely.
Oh. Completely fine.
All right. Are we ready to get me fired up?
Of course we are, because now it's your turn, Patrick.
Because
like, I need a breather.
You sure do. So.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
Okay, now I'm ready.
So Greg, in preparation of the show, sends me this article from our friend The Inquisitor, posted by Will McCormick. Will McCormick,
Will.
Calling you out too, pal.
There you are.
Title is a WWE rumors article saying that The Undertaker setting up next match during Raw 25th anniversary. That's the title.
Exactly what he's doing.
The WWE universe continues to speculate about The Undertaker's future despite a crystal clear retirement angle at WrestleMania 33. Since then, the dead man's return has been rumored at every major WWE.
Can you reiterate those two very important words about the retirement angle?
Oh, crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
Crystal clear. We're going to get back. We're going to come back. Come back. Don't know. This is a long article. I gotta skim it quickly. So, since then, the dead man's return has been rumored at every major WWE pay-per-view this year. However, the WWE's return to WWE program was confirmed for the upcoming 25th anniversary edition of Raw. and the WWE Universe is dying to know, get it, what he will be doing during the show. It's been a lot of speculation. What's that? Yeah, all right, it's clever.
I see what you did there.
I did. There's been a lot of speculation, but now it's being reported that The Undertaker will be setting up his next match during the Raw's 25th anniversary show. It's just
crystal
a rumor
clear.
For now. Crystal clear. It's just a rumor for now, but the expectation is that the dead man's appearance will not just be a friendly hello. The Undertaker might be making an official retirement speech, but the report is claiming the WWE officials could have plans for him heading into WrestleMania season.
This
article goes on for two more paragraphs. Many are confident speculating that people are confident about his ability to wrestle because he just recently had hip surgery and he's been moving well. That there's been photos of him where he looks like he's looking in great shape. Possible matches, the big one being a rematch with Roman Reigns, though a match with Sting could still be a possibility, God no. Or
Sting.
Braun Strowman.
Sting's done. Haven't you watched Table for Three with Sting, Flair, and Steamboat? Sting's done.
Yes. And this thing goes into trying to play into the Braun Strowman Monster Among Men angle for most of the year. And then, having The Undertaker kind of give him the rub. this person has the balls to say that it's because fans were unhappy about Roman Reigns retiring the dead man.
WWE, we always acquiesce to what the fans want.
And giving this is a beautiful quote, by the way. Giving that honor to Strowman would be a much more fitting end to The Undertaker's wrestling career in the eyes of the WWE universe. So, and then the last paragraph is nothing but, for the next month there'll be a lot of speculation because you're already doing it, but a big announcement to confirm his future would make the night unforgettable. Of course it will. I'm done. So fuck this article. Fuck it in the ear.
Damn!
With a sandpaper dildo. Because this is such a fucking ignorant article that's playing on people's hopes. And it's playing on this idea. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to say it here now. If The Undertaker were to actually do this, come out on Raw on the 25th anniversary show to announce he's not done, I care nothing for The Undertaker anymore. Because this man's whole career as The Undertaker, from the moment he took on that mantle to his retirement, has been about honoring and respecting traditions within the business. He's never out of character. When he was not around. You did not see him. He didn't go to Hall of Fame ceremonies. He didn't go to Hall of Fame ceremonies of his friend because you don't do that. You didn't take away from the mystique of the dead man. And when he was the American Badass, you could see him around. When he went back to being the dead man, he loosened it up a little bit and he kind of walked around, but it was more because he was this part-time tweener thing. But he and Shawn Michaels, and Triple H, like I think when Triple H retires, he'll really retire because
he
listens to the reverence that these people hold for the business. And there's a picture of him posing with Ric Flair in front of the 30 for 30. And if you watch that 30 for 30 and you listen to him talk, it's the same. You see it. He holds the responsibility of who he was and what it means to retire and leave the boots behind. Like, he didn't leave the boots, but, he left his shit behind.
Yeah, he couldn't.
That's
leave
what
the boots.
You do.
Physically, he couldn't.
What? Yeah, he couldn't,
he
leave,
couldn't
the
leave the boots because of the way the gear was.
And so you're going to sit here and try to drum up a story that spits in the face of the industry you say you fucking love. Because that is what you're doing right now. You are shitting all over everything that you know is true about the business. And then you pull Sting into this. And then you talk about Braun Strowman as if Braun Strowman ending the career of The Undertaker would somehow be more impactful and meaningful than Roman Reigns doing it? Are you nuts? You're nuts. You're pandering. You're pandering. You're full of shit, and you're pandering. And you should be ashamed of yourself, and you don't deserve to write. You don't deserve to follow people in this business. You don't deserve to sit here and put this sort of bullshit out for somebody to read and hope will be true. It's embarrassing. I'm sad for you, Will McCormick. You are the lowest form of reporter, and you make our jobs harder because you're pulling...
Believe that!
Sorry, I thought you were...
Get this joker off my screen. Fucker. I'm closing the article. God damn it.
I love it. What's wrong with people? Pay-per-click, man. Pay-per-click. That's how Inquisitor works. Pay-per-click. They actually fire good writers on purpose because the good writers don't write per click. They write for quality, because if you write for quality, the clicks and everything will come. We're proving that in real time over at thechairshot.com, which you know, you can obviously go to and read any day at thechairshot.com. So, yeah, this is – it's bad. It's really bad. Here's the biggest thing about it all. And no one wants to hear this argument. Well, okay. No one smart or no one stupid wants to hear this argument. Anyone that, like us, who follows the mantra of thechairshot.com, always use your head, understands what I'm about to say. And you understand what I'm about to say. So it's not for you. It's for those out there who are trying to help enjoy things more. The Undertaker wouldn't do that to Roman Reigns.
No.
And I know people are like rolling their eyes right now because, wow, Roman Reigns, fuck Roman Reigns, FTRR, whatever. No, it's take your FTRR shirt and wipe your ass with it. It's The Undertaker, whoever finally retired him, that means something to The Undertaker. And here's a funny thing. The one thing that people always said about Andre the Giant was you book whatever you want and produce an agent whatever you want. No one was going to tell Andre to do what to do in the ring. If he didn't want to do something, he wasn't going to do it, and no one could physically make him do it. And it's the same thing with The Undertaker. If The Undertaker didn't want to put over Roman Reigns and retire that way, he didn't have to. And even though he's going to listen to Vince and do what Vince says and all that, he didn't have to do that if he didn't want to. And if he was vehemently against it, it would not have happened. I promise you that. And now The Undertaker is not going to go back on that and do that to Roman Reigns. It's just not something that they're going to do. Just like Shawn Michaels wouldn't do that to The Undertaker, just like what you talked about. And whoever finally retires Triple H, let's just pretend and say Jason Jordan somehow retires Triple H. Triple H would never, ever do that to Jason Jordan. That's just not what Triple H would do. Everything else is just completely fucking stupid. And everything that people are saying and pushing and whatever. And this is all about clicks. This is all about someone wanting to put out an article that someone will click on to see if The Undertaker is really going to wrestle again. When common sense, when always use your head, would tell you that article is going to tell you nothing unless it tells you he's not going to wrestle again, because he's not going to wrestle again. And people listening right now being like, well, he never said he was retired. He never did this. They say, you know, they don't always say he's retired. Stop buying into that stuff. It's so stupid. Why else would he leave his gear in the ring? And it was still there like 2 days later.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was such a big deal. It was the last thing to leave the arena. You know what I mean? Like, as they turn, there was the last.
They didn't
thing
remove
to
it until they
out.
Had to.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I want to go back to the whole boots thing. I want to go back to the boots thing. All right. You leave your boots in the ring when you retire. Adam Pearce talked about that on our show at length once.
Yes, he did.
He said, you know, when I'm done, I'll leave my boots in the ring, and that's what it is. And Steve Corino, when he retired, he took his boots off and left them in the ring. That's what you do. The Undertaker is quote unquote the Phenom. He is a character that transcends wrestling and honestly transcends tradition, even though he supports it so much. So for him to retire in a way where he's leaving the coat and the hat in the ring and not the boots, that's the Undertaker. He gets to be special like that and different than everyone else in that regard. It doesn't mean he didn't retire. And it's just so, like, people will grasp it. I mean, I jokingly claimed you were grasping at straws. Okay, I didn't jokingly claim. I meant it. You were grasping at straws earlier. But that really is grasping at straws when people are trying to find a way to do two things. Number one, make it so The Undertaker didn't retire. But here's their true motivation. Make it so that Roman Reigns didn't retire The Undertaker. And that's what people are getting. They don't want Roman Reigns to have been the guy when we all know that Roman Reigns – is in fact the guy, and we've known it
He's
for a long time. And after WrestleMania, there's only one thing left.
This is my yard now.
And no one wants to believe it. And that's just why articles like this will still get play. And here's the thing. Undertaker's not going to come back. And maybe someday he'll actually come out and say he's retired, or his wife will say he's retired, or the WWE will officially say he's retired. Until then, we could have this for three more fucking years. Because people talked about he was going to do something at Survivor Series. Now we've got the 25th anniversary of Raw. And what's right after that? The Royal Rumble. There will be an article about whether or not The Undertaker is going to be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. I guarantee you. What do you like to say? I'll eat a bug, Patrick O'Dowd, if there's not an article about The Undertaker being a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. There will definitely be an article or 12 about that, because that's what we do here on the Internet Wrestling Community. That's why we have the bullshit segment. I will correct you on one thing. He's not making our job harder, Patrick O'Dowd. He's making our job better by doing this. It allows us to do what we do best.
He's making this segment easier. And the reason I say he makes our job harder, and why I talk about these a lot, is these are the people that create fans who are like supposed insiders or believe themselves to be insiders in the know. And I can't tell you how many. We used to talk about this guy who worked under me a few years back. I used to call him Nugget.
And you met
Nugget. Nugget's a good kid.
I did.
Nugget believes this stuff, and he would come in and he would talk to me with like headlines, and I'd have to sit there and run through with this guy about how you're falling into this pit, and you know it's a lot of work. And I've got a new pair of people that talk to me about this
two nuggets,
some additional nuggets, and having to go over with them. The same sort of thing, because one of them will inevitably come see me Thursday night and be like, hey, man, did you see The Undertaker might be coming back? And I'm going to have to explain to him for a really, really long time about why that's just not so. And to think otherwise.
People are listening right now and talking about and telling themselves why you're wrong about this. It's so funny.
Oh, sure they are.
But he's not wrong, listener. He's not wrong.
You're willfully ignoring the reality of the business that you love. We don't see that nearly as much as we used to. But there's, ever since they had that shot out of WrestleMania with Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and Triple H walking arm in arm, there was a certain sentiment that came with that match, and I think it was even articulated by the broadcast.
The last of a dying breed.
That this is the last of a dying breed, and you can't ignore this sort of stuff. You can. You're just stupid for doing it. And this is coming from a fellow basement dweller, like I'm telling you, from the basement.
Yeah.
That there is a light out there that has reality. It's called the sun. It shines down on the earth, and it can actually illuminate you and allow you to read things and, see that there's a history behind this business that you love that exists, more than 14 years ago.
That's a great analogy, Patrick O'Dowd. So there's a sun. It illuminates things, and it'll illuminate you if allowed to. However, reporters like our friend Will are vampires, and they fear the sun because the sun will kill them. They cannot allow that to happen. And in all honesty, as much as I sit here and made fun of Ryan Satin and what he is and what he does and how stupid it is, I don't want him to cease to exist. I don't. Because it's honestly, bullshit like this has become part of the business and part of the fun for me to look at it, because it just gives me – I hate to say this. It sounds terrible, but there's a little bit of fun in saying that someone's stupid. And what someone is doing is stupid. And it's really rude, and we shouldn't do that. And when people do stuff like this, it kind of gives us a pass to say someone's stupid. These people are stupid. And I don't blame people for buying into it, because it's like you said, Nugget would show up, and he would be all excited about these headlines. And that's what happens when you make the transition from casual fan to hardcore fan. That transition is not easy. We've all gone through it. There were years, and I started reading internet wrestling websites in 1995, when I went to college and had the internet for the first time, and Yahoo was but a directory. It wasn't anything else. And I discovered 411 Mania way back then. I think in 1996 is when I discovered it. And started reading about wrestling news, and it was all the rage. Like, holy shit, this and that, and this and that, and the other thing. And if you go back and look, like, so much of it wasn't true. And back then, a lot of the insider information was different because sources were real. Now they're largely, most of those leaks have been plugged, and it's completely different. But that was a tough transition because you want to believe it's real because you want to believe you know something that other people don't. Then the cycle continues and you realize through your own growth as a fan, okay, I didn't really know way more than I thought I knew or way more than I thought everyone else knew. That's all a work too because it's a work business. And that actually brings up a good point, Patrick O'Dowd. Wrestling is completely scripted, completely worked. But yet everyone wants to buy wrestling news like it's not worked. Like it completely goes against the very thing they love. And like you talked about right now, like it's because they want it to be real. They want there to be a possibility of Undertaker coming back. And idiots like Will, who write this stuff, know you want that. And that's why they write it. And that's why it gets clicks. And that's why the Inquisitor will still use their algorithm and pay him whatever they think he should be paid. And he'll go out there and write another one. And that's just the cycle that's never going to end unless people stop reading it. And I can't ever see – I cannot see that light at the end of that tunnel when people stop reading this bullshit.
Yeah, it's never going away.
No, it isn't going away. But this segment will go away, and we will transition into something else.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
So glad Baron Corbin lost to Bobby Roode on SmackDown.
Right.
Baron Corbin sucks.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Let me let the music play. People on Twitter were like, oh, Baron Corbin really needs this win. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He really. It's funny, too, because remember when Jinder lost to AJ and everyone's like, oh, Jinder's done. Going back down to the bottom now. That's where Jinder's going. That's where Baron Corbin's going. Because the fact that he lost in the first round of the United States Championship Tournament tells me there's hard times ahead, Patrick O'Dowd, for Baron Corbin.
There is. And there's no Dusty Rhodes to pull him out of it.
No, because that requires talent. But anyway, we want to move into something the complete opposite of Baron Corbin and talk about the best performers of 2017. And here's the thing. On Friday night, TheChairShot.com will be back with another edition of Friday Night's Main Event, and we will develop what we're calling the list. And the list is going to be, you know, yeah, it's takeoff on, and we all love lists, and of course, Chris Jericho made the list famous, and we all love Chris Jericho, so why not? But it's the list, and we're not doing, you know, Wrestler of the Year, you know, Diva, Woman Wrestler of the Year, whatever you want to call it. We're not doing any of that stuff. But what we're really going to do is come up with the list for 2017. It's just the five best things of 2017 are what we're going to come up with. And we're going to come up with this list entirely on the air, and it's going to be fun. And we're going to come up with the top five, and then we'll put it out there and find out which five entities.
You just made the list.
But we're also going to release the chair shot. We'll do it every year. The man of the year, the woman of the year, and the tag team of the year. And that's what Patrick O'Dowd and I are going to do here today. So we are going to come up with those items, and because in honor of my best friend and co-host, the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd, why he was the beautiful Bobby to my sweet Stan, we're going to do tag team last. We're going to give the tag team category the main event, and we're going to go what most people would call backwards, and we'll start with the man of the year for 2017. Here's how we're going to do it. We're this is the same way Friday is going to work when you listen to the Friday night's main event show. We're literally going to develop the list on the air. We're going to come up with the candidates, and we're going to go at it from there. So let's just start, you know, rambling off who we think the man of the year is in professional wrestling, Patrick O'Dowd. I will start. I think, without a doubt, he retired The Undertaker, and he's headed on a collision course with Brock Lesnar. I think that Roman Reigns needs to be on the list for consideration for man of the year. Sorry, Internet Wrestling Community. Patrick O'Dowd, who would you add to the list?
No need to apologize on that one. I'm going to go with
right.
I'm gonna go with the guy who's kind of carried the SmackDown banner for a good period of time. He's now a two-time champion and current champion over there, and that's one AJ Styles. Just a hell of a year for AJ.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go gender on me. No, I didn't think you were.
Gonna see, yeah, you thought kidding. So too, but no,
everyone
I'm going AJ.
Gonna add gender to the list. I'm not adding gender to the list. I love Jinder Mahal, but I'm not putting him on the list for Man of the Year. It's just not happening, mm-hmm. Those of you who love. I'm going to go outside of the WWE completely and go with an internet favorite, a person that we have not always been easy on. However, this person has made an amazing career for themselves, an amazing name for themselves outside of WWE, and that is one Cody Rhodes. Your turn.
Wow. You know what was really sad, dude? I was sitting here right now as we're trying to put this list together and being like, Impact. Who on Impact? Impact.
Yeah, no one.
Impact. Yeah, and I just couldn't. sorry, Impact. I'm gonna go to another personal favorite of mine. And I don't think this one's any surprise to anybody that's listened to. Because this guy is easily far and away been the best heel. In my opinion, in the WWE period, and that is one, The Miz. Tack Maurice on there for good measure, but The Miz, you name it, he's brought it, period.
100%, yeah, definitely. You name it, he has brought it. So right now, our list sits at Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes, and The Miz. And remember, we're not trying to come up with a top five. We're not trying to do anything else. We're literally coming up with the man of the year in professional wrestling. I cannot think of a name who deserves to be on this list and could beat out any one of these four. In my opinion, my quote unquote professional opinion, I could be funny and be Greg DeMarco-ish and put Jinder Mahal on there, but that's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to make a legitimate list. Can you think of anyone else you want to be considered for man of the year?
I mean, the only one that I thought of that would have been worth considering, and we don't have to put him amongst there, but I do think is at least an honorable mention. I think Kenny Omega's had a pretty damn good year, too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really too much that you can argue. I mean, to Cody Rhodes has kind of, you know, been there and has done all this stuff and has really kind of taken this moniker or taken this, like, sort of proven that you can do very well outside of the WWE thing. Kenny Omega has... You know, and I think we'll see him in a WWE ring eventually. But to see where he's gone and to see the type of year he's had from Wrestle Kingdom, I think, 11 to coming up on 12, that's a hell of a run between ROH and New Japan. It is very much somebody who's been someone that's been in the forefront of what I've watched in a lot of programming that didn't have to do with the WWE.
It's funny because if you're going to – I thought you were going to Japan there, but I thought you were going with Kazuchika Okada. I didn't think you were going
with – I could have gone Okada.
You could have gone Okada. The guy has had just a hell of a year. And he hasn't lost the title all year. He's been champ from beginning to end. And he's, you know, the ace of New Japan, so to speak, right now. And, of course, they put a lot into that term, and we'll see what happens at Wrestle Kingdom when he goes against – Naito, but it, you know, I think if you're going to, you know, give an honorable mention to Omega, then I got to give one to Okada as well.
Fair enough.
And
no shame there.
No shame at all. By the way, we just received a tweet from Chairshot Radio saying Man of the Year, James Ellsworth. So they believe that we should include James Ellsworth on the list.
Not until he has that match against Dwayne Gill.
That's right, yeah. In which, you know, we all know Patrick Goodell will be there front and center. If he can get there, he will, because that is a classic for the wrestling realist Patrick Goodell. But James,
you ain't on the list, bro.
Sorry. But, so there we go. So we've got Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes, and The Miz. So let's talk about, first of all, let's just talk about Roman Reigns. Why shouldn't he be the man of the year?
Because everybody hates him. and it's kind of funny to say it that way. And I don't hate him, and I love what he's been for the company. But I do think that's part of it. You know what I mean? Like when you look at, or at least when I look at, like somebody who's kind of a an of the year candidate. I do think that some of that heat's waning. I don't necessarily think it's come from his, you know, being back with the Shield, because he's been back with the Shield, but not really. So he started, you know, he's getting that back, I think, in a good way on his own. But that, you know, I would say that, you know, the, just sort of the visceral sort of bipolar reaction that fans have could be an argument. I thought you were going to ask me to argue for it, so you threw me off there for a second.
Sorry. Yeah. I have to apologize for shocking your expectations there on that one. No, because it's really, you know, that's what you got to look at is why not. I also think that there have been times this year where Roman Reigns has taken a back seat. And,
yep.
And you know, if anyone, you know, the Dean Ambrose injury now, notwithstanding, but he kind of ruined the whole Shield thing by getting sick. And, of course, it's not his fault for getting sick, and mm-hmm. no one can really blame him for that. But that sort of took that, you know, and he actually took the fall at SummerSlam in the multi-man main event for the Universal Championship, and which was originally announced as his one-on-one title shot. Of course, we're saving that to WrestleMania. I think 2018 is more of a man of the year possibly for Roman Reigns, which is interesting because he did, as we just talked about before, retire The Undertaker. And
he did,
you know, in only five words, basically delivered the best promo of the entire
This is my yard now.
And that, you know, notwithstanding, and he could probably be second place in this. We'll see how it goes. But I don't know if Roman Reigns is the man of the year. Look at everybody else who's on the list. What about AJ Styles? And because I threw you off the first time, I'll let you can argue for or against AJ Styles. Talk to me about the phenomenal one and where he stands on this list.
Well, I mean, again, if you look at and just depending on how generous you want to start his year, from his debut at the Royal Rumble all the way through to being a multi-time champ now, he's been a consistent face fixture now for a good period of time, ever since his most previous WrestleMania match where, you know, he sort of did the respect is earned thing. I don't think of SmackDown without it being synonymous with AJ. And there's a reason for that. And he's really embraced that role. And it is the guy on that program. And I think he could, and yep. I think that particular show suits him very well. When you look at the kind of a logjam that is Raw, I don't know how well that works for him. I think the knock is that, yeah, he was without the title for a significant period of time when Jinder Mahal was carrying it, and it was a the highest rated period for SmackDown this year when Jinder had
sure it.
There's that. Yeah.
I want to talk about that, though, Patrick Riddell. Why? Don't let facts get in the way of a good
argument.
What's
this over here? What's this bird? What's going on over here? I got to look this way for a second. I can't see the screen.
Yes.
So that's the big knock is that you know, if you look at, if you're a numbers person and a ratings person, which most irrational internet wrestling fans only are when their guys bump their ratings.
Right.
But if you look at the numbers were not as high when AJ held the title as it was when Jinder Mahal had it.
Oh, facts. Facts are so much fun sometimes. So what about Cody Rhodes, Patrick? Now, because Cody Rhodes is, and I'll address this. Cody for me is sometimes, you know, like someone is a Heisman candidate and they get to go to New York and you know damn well they're not winning the trophy. But the going to New York and being in the conversation was a reward for a job well done. And that's where I kind of sit with Cody Rhodes. Like, I think he's, and it kind of is, you know, emblematic of his career. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Like, Cody is, for whatever reason, always kind of even number two. Even when he goes out there and puts on a heck of a match with Okada in Los Angeles, what does everybody say? Well, that was all Okada. And Cody,
yeah,
you know, and did a lot of good for Ring of Honor and led, you know, with him as champion, they had their most successful time period ever. And you know, second highest attendance ever for an entire year for Ring of Honor, short only to a time period not too long ago, and most profitable year ever by far. For Ring of Honor, with Cody Rhodes at the helm. And then, of course, gave everybody the moment where Dalton Castle got to beat him and become Ring of Honor world champion bucking a trend of Ring of Honor, waiting too long to pull the trigger on the hot hand. Although the last two champions that have won the belt have done so at a period where they were hot. So they really have, you know, between Cody and Dalton Castle. But I can't even see putting Cody above the last two guys we talked about.
No, I think one of the other things that you can talk about that I really appreciate out of this year is, you know, whatever happens with this show that they're trying to do with Young Bucks, if he pulls it off, like, you know, with whatever support and all that, you still got to tip your cap to that. And that's something that,
of course,
you know, it'll be really interesting to see if that actually comes to be. But, you know, if he were to actually pull that off, I think we may have to talk about it again next year.
Oh, I think I think he's going to do everything in his power to make sure we're talking about him next year. Not us
very
specifically, so are we, but everybody, to make sure that everyone's talking about him specifically, because that's what he doesn't have the machine behind him anymore. So he has to be the machine for himself. Now he has Bullet Club and he has, you know, Pro Wrestling Tees and Hot Topic and all that stuff, but that's self-generated by everybody associated with it. There's no WWE machine behind that. The Ring of Honor machine is only so big, and so we're really not able to you know, bank on that if you're Cody Rhodes, and so he's got to do that himself, and he's done an amazing job of it. So hats off to Cody, and I think it falls in the category of the being quote-unquote nomination is the recognition for
there
someone in Cody Rhodes' position. So if you don't like it, sorry, even though, you know, I need a Batista deal with it soundbite, I think, Patrick Goodell. Maybe that's one that I'll work on.
Whether you like it
or
you don't like it, learn to live with it. I think that, you know, like, we should go older school than that. Go Ric Flair.
That's easy enough to find.
Oh,
Ric Flair on it. So number four on our list was The Miz. And you talked about easily the best heel in WWE right now, and I think it's showing because, man, like, they had to put the Intercontinental Championship on Roman Reigns to allow The Miz to be gone to film a movie. And so, so what does that tell you about what The Miz did with the Intercontinental Championship when we have to put it on the top star of the company while he is gone? You know, The Miz, to me, I think you can make a pretty strong argument to put The Miz above Roman Reigns and AJ Styles.
Well, here's the thing. Because I thought about this a little bit. The Miz is Dolph Ziggler with credibility. Because one of the things that we used to talk about, I'll explain a little bit. So one of the things we used to talk about with Dolph when we were doing, when Dolph Ziggler started losing more than we were comfortable, one of the lies you would tell yourself is that they have these guys, you know, that they trust to be the ones to put over the, you know, put over talent, and that win is a big deal. Like, The Miz kind of took that role and made himself indispensable. And it all started, in my mind, it all started with a promo on Daniel Bryan Talking Smack. Like, from there forward, it's just been nothing but The Miz. When he's on the screen, you want to stop what you're doing to watch what he has to say, whether he's hosting his TV, whether he's cutting a promo backstage, whether he's working the ring and doing a match. It doesn't matter. You want to see him. You want to see him lose. I haven't seen people this desperate to watch a guy lose since Ted DiBiase was the $1 billion man. And this is fresh in my, mind because I'm going through like old Royal Rumbles right now. And in the first few Royal Rumbles, Ted DiBiase plays a surprisingly prominent role. And the biggest pop of the show is when Ted DiBiase gets eliminated. It's not when Hogan wins again.
Right.
It's when Ted gets thrown out. And all the times he gets so close, people go nuts. And people love to see that dude lose. People hate The Miz, but they hate him in the right way. The WWE trusts him to be a good hand in the ring with just about anybody. They view him as a big deal, as you articulated. Like, you can't just have somebody beat The Miz. Like, you just can't do it because The Miz has transcended that role. Like, he's no longer the heel that can put the new Mick Carter over. Like, he's the heel that is impossible to beat without the right guy.
Yeah,
because
no,
he's that good.
Because he means something. He means something. He's that good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a hell. It came up earlier this week on Twitter, and people were like, "Oh, I just can't buy him in the ring." Like, that's bullshit. If you can't buy him in the ring, like, what do you?
Yeah, right.
Did you buy Stone Cold Steve Austin? Because when he was in his greatness, it was kicks, punches, and stunners, and that's what he did. And you know, a snapmare here and there. So to say you don't buy the Miz in the ring is just complete. It's irresponsible at this point. Like he's, and I'll tell you what. If we do, well, irresponsible is something that we love to be around the internet wrestling community. But if we do make the Miz the man of the year, we'll be proven right by one thing and one thing only. And it's the next time.
Awesome! I came to play.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Because when that plays, the crowd is going to go nuts.
Yep.
Like they're going to go apeshit for him when he comes back. And because he's going to get that return pop because he's such a damn good performer. Here's the thing about The Miz. Within 30 seconds of him being on that microphone, the crowd will be booing him again. Because that's how talented he is. And that's how damn good he is about everything. So, it looks to me like, you know, I am comfortable putting The Miz over AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, which you know, no one's going to care if we put him over Roman Reigns, but AJ Styles is a different argument. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel that if you were to look at we'll just talk about those three. If you were to look at those three objectively, the biggest vacuum that's left in the company when that person takes time off, in my opinion, is The Miz. Like he leaves a literal hole that's tough to fill.
He left a hole in SmackDown when he went to Raw.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that really has – that guy ended up being filled by Jinder Mahal, in all honesty. Like, that hole, that heel that people wanted to see lose, and that's why the company did so well with Jinder as champion, because if you have a good heel on top that everyone wants to see lose, that sells. And as much as people hate on Jinder for simply doing his job and doing it well, that really does sell. And that's why – and that's why, you know, even with Cody Rhodes, despite his popularity, people wanted to see him lose to Dalton Castle. That's exactly what happened. And he played that role really, really, really well. He's been a great tweener leaving the company because that's what he's had to be. So, yeah. So I feel like we just named The Miz our man of the year for 2017.
Hey, we did.
For us and for the chair shot. Good. Well, let's move on to Woman of the Year, Patrick O'Dowd. And let me allow you to begin. And if you were just off the top of your head, if you were to think about the female performers in professional wrestling this year, who stands out to you the most?
Charlotte? Charlotte Flair.
Right.
Like there,
literally writing her name on a list. Okay. Charlotte had a hell of a year, both brands. And no arguments there.
I mean, there's a reason I make the joke, LOL, Charlotte wins. Like,
it's true.
Which was just a ripoff of a previous joke, which was LOL Cena wins.
Right.
It's Charlotte.
No, exactly. And
so,
I mean,
your turn.
Came into the year, you know, and you know, I mean, you can't really argue against Charlotte's position in the company. I'm kind of going to the Charlotte on the Raw side, and that's Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss has been nothing but, you know, a champion all year, and so, you know, I'm going to go Alexa. It's funny, there was a graphic out there about champions when the year started and champions when the year ended. And it's really funny because AJ Styles, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss, The Bar, and Roman Reigns all held belts at the beginning of the year. And here we are at the end of the year and they all hold belts still. And it's pretty damn impressive. So it's, and I think the Usos might have fallen in that same category. So it's, it's kind of crazy what everything has looked like, but that's really how the year has been. And it shows you how much the WWE really does value title reigns, even though people think they do not. So we got Charlotte on one side, Alexa on the other. Anybody else that you want to add, Patrick O'Dowd?
So this is going to sound like a little out of left field, but I hope you'll bear with me. I am going to go back to Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
Because there's a woman working over at Impact Wrestling. Yeah. Are you sure you know where I'm going? I'm sure
I would bet $5 that I refer to this person by her initials if I wanted to.
Maybe. But there's been one performer who basically from the moment she debuted on Impact, came out with a very unique, unnerving look, and has had a really, really strong year with Impact, and then kind of gets overlooked because of where she works and how much she's been on TV.
Because it's Impact.
Because it's Impact. And that's Rosemary. When I was sitting there going back through the year and looking at how important she has become to the Impact women's division. Women's knockout, she was women's knockout champion. She was in the finals. She did just lose to Laurel Van Ness, in trying to get a women's champion, championship. But she has been, when I think of steady things that have continued to exist, that have kind of been solid, important parts of Impact Wrestling, Rosemary has been it. Probably is the honorable mention of this group, but I would be remiss without talking about what kind of year she had.
No, I agree. I think that's a fine choice. I thought you were going Laurel Van Ness, actually, so I was wrong.
Yeah, I know.
I will happily admit that I was wrong, and you knew I was wrong, and that's okay. You should have taken me on the $5 bet because you would have won. So no $5 for you. However, we didn't bet, so it's okay.
Yep.
Patrick O'Dowd, not usually a betting man, so that makes sense.
This is true.
So yeah, and it's funny. So we've got, Charlotte, we've got Alexa Bliss, we've got Rosemary on the list, and now comes that question: is there anybody who we could see competing with those three for the title of Woman of the Year? And even thinking internationally, I could possibly consider. You're right. There is one that I have to put on the list, and that's Asuka.
Yeah, I was like, if we don't, I can actually hear the nerds yelling at the keyboards right now. I can hear them screaming at the keyboards.
They're either yelling Asuka or they're yelling Toni Storm. Let's be honest, because
she's one that I think
you can deserve some consideration. She kind of falls into that Omega Okada territory that we were talking about before, in terms of being on this list. And so yeah, it's. But, I think, she falls in that category. And so here we are. So you talked about Rosemary, possibly, you kind of put her into that honorable mention box. And I think you're right in that regard. And so I can, can we just assume that it's not Rosemary?
Yeah, it's not Rosemary. But,
okay.
She's had a good year.
She has had a great year. And she deserves every bit of recognition that you're giving her right now. And she's, we didn't talk about what happened in Mexico. The sexy star.
No, we didn't know.
But she definitely deserves everything that you're giving her here at this point. Let's talk about Asuka now and go out of order, because she didn't lose the NXT Women's Championship. She forfeited it because of an injury that really never was an injury and was never talked about again after it was first reported as an injury. I'll be honest with you. Knowing we talked about honor and tradition and everything in the business before, and I know it wasn't her decision, but the fact she didn't put over Ember Moon, to me, actually hurts her case, in my opinion, because elevating someone, putting someone over, and setting a star on the rise when you leave a brand like NXT, to me, is something that would help her case. And I think, to me, it hurts her case. And I know people are, like you said, screaming at their keyboards and their monitors right now, but it's and then she got on Raw and she hasn't really done a whole lot. She's finally picking things up now with Alexa Bliss, but she basically kicked them out of the company, which I think was going to happen no matter what. And had some great vignettes and had her farewell in NXT. And really, they still haven't fully repaired the women's division over in NXT since she left. You could almost say she's done more harm than good, though, the way I'm talking right now. And I know that's not true, but I just don't know if I can give her. Looking at 2017 as a whole, I don't know if I can give her Woman of the Year.
Yeah, I think a big part of it does depend on how much weight you put on her being the dominant champion that she was in NXT. I agree with you in the whole, it's really sort of much more, and it sort of isn't even the right way, it's more imperative that when these transitions out of NXT happen, that they're done in a way to not make a significant void. And I think that's really what's kind of happened, like you talked about here. There's a significant void that was left behind by Asuka going up, by, you know, some of these other women who are, you know, working double duty, but, you know, have transitioned up. Like, they're just, it's left things a little bit behind. And I also don't hold the weight of the NXT Women's Championship and right. being undefeated in NXT to the same place that I would hold being, you know, an undefeated WWE Women's Champion. Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure she's going to win the title to have it in time.
I'm pretty sure
for
she's
going to
win the Rumble.
Yep.
Yeah, I think she's going to win the Rumble. And I think she's going to go on and beat Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania.
But my thing is, you know, because it's all eventually the setup for her and Charlotte. So getting her and I don't think they're going to do a champion versus champion thing, but her and Charlotte need to stay apart.
They could. They could. Survivor Series next year.
They could.
You know, we love our
Survivor Series
theme.
I want that to be a WrestleMania match. I want, and I think everybody else wants that to be a WrestleMania. Now, whether that is, and that's the playlist that the WWE is playing,
I think it'll be a WrestleMania match. But that may not be their first time going at it.
Maybe not.
WrestleMania. Remember when WrestleMania 26, you know, we were there in person, and even though it wasn't the main event, it was one of the main events.
Yep.
It was John Cena versus Batista. That wasn't their first time either. They fought at the SummerSlam before that.
That's true.
And so it's even though that was a WrestleMania-worthy main event, that's going to be a hell of a match at a WrestleMania when it happens between Charlotte and Asuka. I just think it happens at Survivor Series first because of the Survivor Series gimmick, so to speak.
Yeah, maybe.
So if we take
Asuka's
Asuka,
not losing that title for any time, which she finally wins.
No. That because then, you know, who knows? She'll probably have to vacate a due to injury. Who knows? She'll just never, ever, ever, ever lose. Except for the fact that she lost in a battle royal and a tag team match during her NXT run. We don't count those, though, because that doesn't.
No, we really don't.
Don't really. She didn't take the fall. Battle royals don't really count, in my opinion, either. And she did not take the fall in that tag match that she lost early into her career anyway. So it is what it is there. So it leaves us with Charlotte and Alexa. And it's not an obvious choice. I'd like to think it's an obvious choice, but it really isn't an obvious choice because they've both had a heck of a year, and they've both done amazing things in the year of 2018. I don't know. It's a tough decision to make, Patrick O'Dowd. If you had to pick between the two, which we do have to do here today, how do you lean, so to speak?
I lean Charlotte. Here's the thing is, oddly enough, like for as great as Alexa Bliss has been, and she has been amazing, and I want to lay that out. I don't. When you say women's division, I don't think Alexa Bliss first. I think Charlotte Flair. Like every time, and so.
Yeah. And I think
so
it's because you're supposed to.
And that's fine, but it took me a while to come around on Charlotte. Like I was not.
Oh, I.
I was not a huge Charlotte fan, and predicted that this is where she was going to be. And you know, here she is. And so, yeah, to me, she's so synonymous with the division, whether it's on Raw, whether it's on SmackDown. You know, she's one of the few second generation wrestlers that has carried their parents' legacy, like truly carried their parents' legacy, and had it work for them. It worked for them in a way that, you know, she made her own, yet at the same time still does honor and justice to her parent and the person she's trying to recognize, you know, and Ric Flair. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, you know, championships don't really mean a whole heck of a lot. I think, you know, it's funny. I think that all these arguments I'm making for her, you can make for Alexa too. Because I do think that both of them being gone, you know, again, it creates a vacuum because they do both have strong personalities. I just think Charlotte's been stronger. I think she's had the better year. I think she's always the one who's looked at, regarded as the champ or champ in waiting. And I don't know that I've always felt like that for Alexa Bliss over the past year. I do worry, you know, I will say I legit worried that when she lost, she would never get the title again. Or it would be a while. So, to me, that puts Charlotte as the performer of the year.
And it's funny because I would say I wouldn't say the same things about Alexa Bliss, But to me, the fact that Alexa Bliss, yeah, a lot. But it's different, though, because Alexa doesn't have the legacy. Alexa doesn't have the name. And Charlotte has proven she deserves to be there. I don't know that she would have been there without the name or the legacy. I don't even know if she would have considered it, though. So that's the other thing. You know, I don't think this you know, volleyball player in college wanted to be a professional wrestler without her dad being Ric Flair. But her dad's always been Ric Flair, so we can't imagine it any other way. But Alexa, Charlotte was, you know, Charlotte and amazing in NXT. Alexa was essentially a manager in NXT and came up and basically, you know, Becky Lynch was the first, you know, SmackDown Women's Champion. And then it was, you know, Alexa Bliss. And Alexa held it until, you know, losing it to Naomi and then won it back. And, you know, when Naomi was injured and then lost it and then subsequently went to Raw and almost immediately becomes the Raw Women's Champion. The first woman to do that on both brands. Charlotte being the second one pretty quickly after that. Actually, I mean, Charlotte waited a while before she had her belt. She won it right before Survivor Series, in all honesty. And that's the thing. I think Charlotte had more downtime. From the time that she went over to SmackDown, like, there were times where Charlotte had disappeared. And Alexa Bliss has always been there this entire year. And it, to me, it's because she's like the RKO. She came out of nowhere, and she has cemented herself head and shoulders above Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, who are part of that, you know, triple threat match at WrestleMania 32 that really put the women's evolution, as they're calling it now, on the map and proved Stephanie right in terms of kayfabe sense when she kicked off the Divas Revolution. And everyone else they've brought up has not been able to ascend to the level of both Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. And for me, I got to put Alexa slightly ahead of Charlotte because I feel like she had less going for her. And she even did more this year. If you look at the number of days, she was champion longer than Charlotte was. She made more pay-per-view appearances than Charlotte did. Like, there were times where Charlotte didn't do Charlotte didn't even wrestle at SummerSlam. And yet here we had Alexa Bliss. So it's to me, you know, I got to go, you know, Alexa, whereas you're going Charlotte. So we're kind of in a
split decision.
That's your good
idea. I guess you have to leave it to Friday.
No. Friday's not. We're not making that decision on Friday. That is this completely different. Now, Alexa Bliss or Charlotte may be on, quote-unquote, the list. And for the unit they've had, and I think either can be argued
to be in the top five
in 2017. Right, but I don't know if they'll be on the final top five list.
That's true.
Five. So we got to figure out which one gets the, you know, takes the cake, so to speak.
It's so interesting that you talk about Charlotte being great because of her dad, or like getting there because of her dad. And I always argue this for all kinds of wrestlers. It's overcoming their parent.
I think so.
Because Ted DiBiase Jr. did not overcome his dad.
No.
Bray Wyatt.
I don't think he really wanted to.
Nope. Bray Wyatt did not overcome his dad.
I don't know that, you know, Bray Wyatt, no, which is funny because there's not even going to talk about that. Really, since he left the company, I don't think Cody Rhodes overcame his dad or his brother until he did this. So, you know, I think you got, you definitely have a good point there.
I do feel what you're saying. In regards to just what Alexa's managed to pull off and what Alexa's been able to do. Here's the thing. I think we're going to have Charlotte in this discussion for Woman of the Year every damn year we do this.
I agree.
So, just on the strength of that alone, I don't know if we can make that guarantee with our girl Alexa. I hope so.
No, I hope so too, it's going to be Asuka's world real soon.
Yep, and so I will concede this argument this time around.
This time around, he'll remember this in a year. I guarantee Patrick will remember this in a year. So, 1 year ago, 1 year and two hiatuses ago, you said this, Greg DeMar. Yeah, no, I definitely do. Do agree there. And I think, you know, it, you're right, though. Like, this is kind of playing the hot hand with Alexa because she may not be in this conversation next year. Who knows? Because there's only two championships. And although you could see Alexa get moved to SmackDown again with Asuka dominating Raw, and maybe Charlotte versus Alexa is a big deal over on SmackDown, and we take it from there. It's a good thing these things aren't decided in the ring since, you know, Charlotte won that. But
Charlotte wins.
You know, where Natalya would not have, in my opinion. I don't think Natalya would have beaten Alexa Bliss. I think Charlotte definitely would have. It's funny, for a title change, it looked like it was just for Survivor Series. Charlotte's still champion. Still, although she doesn't really, now she kind of has the issue with the Riot Squad, but she didn't have a whole lot going on there. After the Lumberjack match, which I'm really glad they called Lumberjack and not Lumberjill. So we've got The Miz and we've got Alexa Bliss. So we're going real strong on the heels right now. And we'll see how long Alexa's really a heel, because she switches brands. I could see her possibly changing that alignment as well. But it brings us to one of your favorite divisions in all of professional wrestling, and that is, of course, the tag team division, Patrick O'Dowd. So I will let you kick it off with who you think could and should be considered as the tag team of the year for the year 2017.
Which of the two pieces of low-hanging fruit do I go with? Well, because I think the argument is, honestly, Greg, I think this is a two-team argument, maybe a three-team if we go outside of the WWE. So I'll start with my personal favorite of the two, and the one that I can't remember what exactly I said about them when I dropped this line, but it was something along the lines of the best tag team of their generation. And that's the Usos.
Yes.
I think the Usos have proven that there is no other, there's no comparison almost. They're so good together. They belong together. They're natural together. Doesn't look like they're breaking up anytime soon. Doesn't matter who they're in a ring with. Doesn't matter who they compete with. You know, whether it be the New Day or any other of the slapdash tag teams that the WWE puts together. Because that's the other problem with this, is that the WWE hates tag team wrestling. And so really, you've got about four true tag teams, and that's about it.
Right.
But the Usos, they're just better. You know, and they're just, they're so talented. They're so skilled. They work in concert with each other so well. Their year has been amazing. Like, just amazing. Their feud with the New Day has been ridiculous.
No, it's been insane what the New Day has accomplished and with the Usos and they said it themselves. Like, it's mind blowing that they have not been on a main card for WrestleMania or SummerSlam at all in their WWE career, and it's something that they have talked about. I wrote an article predicting, making bold predictions for WrestleMania. I do think the Usos finally get their due and get on the main card. You're going to hate it, Patrick O'Dowd, when it's against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, even though they were at one point a real tag team. They're not. In WWE lore, they're not a real tag team, even though we know what they're capable of. Sadly, I also think the Usos are going to lose that match at WrestleMania because I think they're going to Raw. And will probably shine over on Raw too, because they're finally figured out who they are and they've really done an amazing job. Cause I think we're seeing their true personalities turned up to 11, and that's when things work in professional wrestling. I think we can put the bar on the list. I think we
can
put the New Day kind of in that Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, Tony Storm category. And I think you can put the Young Bucks, another set of brothers, on the list as well, because of what they've been able to accomplish on their own. I cannot honestly sit here and tell you why any of them are better candidates than your first choice of the Usos. And the reason why you said they're the greatest, why you even came up with the whole greatest tag team of their generation, was because we talked about their match at Clash of Champions and how it would have been the perfect setup for someone like Rusev Day or Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin to capture, or even the New Day to recapture, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. But the New Day but the Usos won, and the Usos should have won because they are what you said. They are the greatest tag team of their generation. There's no arguments about it. They've been this good for a long time. They just didn't have the hook that they have now. They hadn't quite discovered their own it factor. Look at Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode was fantastic in TNA for so long, but it wasn't until Glorious came along that people realized, holy shit, Bobby Roode's amazing. And we knew how great Bobby Roode was, but the general public didn't. And it's kind of the same way with the Usos. I don't think anyone would have called the Usos the best tag team in the world before 2018. And now I don't see how you can't say that about the Usos. And to me, I can't even argue with you. With the argument with Charlotte and Alexa, I can't even argue with you about the Usos and tell you that somebody else should be at the top of the list. I just can't, because nobody else should be.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like you see what it is, and you just know that's where it is.
And I really hope to all whatever that they move the Usos to Raw when they do whatever shakeup they're going to do after WrestleMania, because I think they're going to move Seth Rollins over to SmackDown. Like, to me, where Seth Rollins is now and the amazing in-ring talent that he is just kind of screams go to SmackDown to me. And
yep.
And with Ambrose being out and everything else, and then we talked about this last week, and that's what I see happening for Seth Rollins in the long run, then I think you can really go forward with the Usos and Roman Reigns and the empire that they sort of did before the whole, you know, brand split happened. I honestly think that there could be something there, and it could possibly be some of the best work of all three men's careers. And we could really see something amazing, and the Usos would be phenomenal at it. And it wouldn't be, they wouldn't look like Roman's lackeys, because they would be dominating tag team wrestling, and it would put them in some single situations. You mm-hmm. talked about them not being able to break up. One of them got hurt, and the other one did commentary for 6 months. That's how strong they are as a tag team. Like, they didn't even try, because they're both individually talented enough to get to the level of, say, an Intercontinental Championship. But it'll never happen, because it never needs to, because they are that damn good as a tag team. And it's not like Edge and Christian, where you need one to go singles, or even the Hardys. Like, the Usos are Jimmy and Jay, and without Jimmy, there's no Jay, and without Jay, there's no Jimmy, and that's why they're so good. It's the same as the Young Bucks. Without Matt, there's no Nick, and vice versa. And so you really can't see one of them being considered above the other, and the Usos are the same way. Whereas the Bar, you know, Sheamus might have to retire this year, and maybe Cesaro finally gets it too. Who knows? Sheamus is a world champion, a multi-time world champion. No one in these other tag teams is that. Big E might get that due someday, you know, in his career. I could see that. I think there's a lot, you know, Xavier Woods could do at the singles level. We've seen what Kofi can do at the singles level. We know how talented he is. But to me, the Usos are the epitome right now of tag team wrestling. And, yeah, I can't – I mean, obviously you're okay with it because you nominated them, but I think we got to give Tag Team of the Year to the Usos. It's of the three categories, it's the easiest one to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you let me go first. It kind of made it easy.
And I'm glad you picked them instead of one of the other options.
Well, I thought about it, too. I thought about, like, do I go around? Do I work around this? And I was like, yeah, no. So, interesting that there's the first SmackDown of 2018 does have a tag title match coming up.
It does. It does. And, you know, if they lose, they lose. It doesn't mean they won't win it back, because that's tag team wrestling.
No,
I mean, that's part of tag team wrestling is, you know, title change has more often.
This is true. So... yeah, wow. I think that does it for our of the years, right?
Those are the three categories. We do have The Miz as the Man of the Year, Alexa Bliss as the Woman of the Year, and the Usos as the Tag.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
So, Patrick O'Dowd, it was revealed that the United States Championship will be recrowned now that Dolph Ziggler has officially vacated the title, or it's been vacant for him, or however we want to look at it, and we will have a tournament to crown a new champion over on SmackDown Live. And right now, Bobby Roode and Jinder Mahal have advanced in said tournament, and obviously we have to come to an ending point and have ourselves a champion. So I'll start with you, Patrick O'Dowd. Who do you think... win? Who do you think comes out of this as the United States champion? And who should be the next man to wear the red, white, and blue championship over on SmackDown?
Oh, do I have to check spoilers to see who are the other four people that are competing? Do we know that?
We don't. Spoiler to that point yet. So I don't even know.
Okay. More. Yeah, I am. I was only able to watch and catch like results here and there. So, God, I hope it's Bobby Roode. I really do. And if for no other reason than you want to talk about something that's over and over big and is another sort of person that could carry a mid-card title in a way that would be exciting and fun to watch, Bobby Roode, United States Heavyweight Champion, gold.
It makes sense.
And you know
it makes perfect.
And you know what? and because it makes sense, the WWE won't do it. But I'm going to make it both my pick of who will win and who should win, because I don't think they're going to put it on Jinder. I think it'd be a great run for Jinder as a champ, but I actually think kind of like with The Miz, kind of want Jinder to kind of go away for a little bit and come back in the world heavyweight championship reign, not necessarily be down at the with the United States belt.
Gloria. You know, it's funny. Bobby Roode, United States Champion, just sounds amazing, and it would kind of justify their even calling him up to the main roster. Although he had done all he could do in NXT, it's been a waiting game. Of course, I'm sure Ty Dillinger would love to be in the position that Bobby Roode is in right now. So there's that. But to me, I honestly think Jinder Mahal, like you said, does come out of this tournament as the winner and as the United States Champion. And even though I've been solidly behind Jinder Mahal versus John Cena at WrestleMania, I could potentially see that changing to be Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. And maybe Roode finally gets that win and that, you know, single championship on the main roster at WrestleMania, because, you know, people are going to be going nuts for a Bobby Roode entrance at WrestleMania. Like, entrances are something that I don't think people realize how important they are sometimes, and you look at what it means when The Undertaker enters, and so many of the specials that the WWE does, especially the 24/7 specials they do right now, and I watched a few on the network last night as I was doing some other work, and so much, even though they don't talk about the entrances, everything they show you is somebody doing their entrance, and the entrance just means so much, and that's really catapulted Bobby Roode's career in this transition from TNA Impact Wrestling over to NXT and now the main roster. I see Bobby Roode getting that due at WrestleMania and not there. So I think Bobby Roode is a good candidate for should. I think Jinder Mahal will walk out of this as the United States champion, only to set up Roode versus Mahal down the road at WrestleMania. So even if we're different in our answer, Patrick or Dowd, we're not really all that far off.
Even if we lose, we win.
Exactly. That's what we are the pro wrestling sheet of our predictions right there.
So go ahead.
No, you're good.
No. I just really quickly. Who else is going to be in that tournament?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like this is one of those things where they went out there in the first week, and they went with Roode and Jinder Mahal, and wrestling does this sometimes. I think next week we'll have, you know, two other semifinalists crowned, but it doesn't matter because I think your finalists are Roode and Mahal, in all honesty. I think that's going to come down to those two guys. I don't even think the WWE knows who the other two guys in the semifinals are going
to be. That's the thing. I'm checking on thechairshot.com, Young Mitchell's report to see if he put it in the report, if it got, you know, announced.
If it got announced, Stephen Mitchell would put it in there. Trust me.
Baron Corbin, Bobby Roode.
And honestly, the remaining bracket strikes me as something that would be a social media announcement.
Well, you could have. I mean, what do you got Rusev really doing?
Yeah, Rusev could be in there. Sami Zayn strikes me as a possible candidate to be in the tournament.
Maybe you do break up, quote unquote, break up the New Day, and you throw Big E in there, or Kofi, either one of them.
Woods, or Kofi, any one of them could potentially do that. So I think there's that.
It's just interesting as you kind of go through the show. For all my griping about no tag team wrestling, it's a very tag team centric show.
Yeah, I know. SmackDown is your home for tag team wrestling, Patrick.
Right?
And so I could definitely see, you know, those kind of being the guys who are involved. But I honestly think we already have our two finalists, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's something where they know who their finalists were going to be. They said, this week we're going to establish those two guys, and we'll worry about the other two later. Because honestly, the other two aren't that important, because this is who's going to be fighting in the finals to crown the new United States Championship. And if Bobby Roode, you know, loses because of the same old stuff for Jinder Mahal, you've got the boys, so to speak, in the same rows, and you look at Jinder Mahal winning the championship, it just sets up Bobby Roode later for that big win. But yeah, it's you know, you've got Randy Orton could possibly involve in that somewhere. I don't know when he finally goes away. As I know, we've talked about Orton, you know, quote unquote, taking a break. Orton could be a guy. Orton could be a hell of a guy to lose to somebody in the finals too. But I don't want to see Jinder and Orton again. So and I don't.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Rude and Orton doesn't fully make sense. I don't think Orton is involved in the tournament at all. It doesn't matter who's involved because they're not even going to be in the finals. I think we already have our two finalists, and that's kind of where it's gonna sit, in my opinion, Patrick Rodell.
Cool, makes sense.
Yes, and honestly, that not only does that do it for that discussion, Patrick Goodhead, that does it for the year of 2017, one which we spent, we spent most of which on hiatus. But that does
it's
it for
true.
Us for 2017 and the Greg DeMarco show. Hopefully,
good work.
I hope we, with everything, with all the momentum going on right now, outside of a week or two off here or there, we could potentially have a long-term hiatus-free 2018. It's just what I
That would be exciting for the listeners. I'm sure they get tired of trying to find us when we come back. So
right,
let's
exactly.
get that.
And
if we're gonna do this, if we're gonna do this regularly, you gotta promise me you'll continue to, you know, quote my inappropriate tweets on Twitter or my statements on Twitter like you did today.
Well,
that
was
necessary.
That one was just too.
Was
good.
It though?
That
I was angry.
Not only that, but the fact that then the Chair Shot Radio, which is, of course, the network for thechairshot.com. Talk about it's family night. Tuesday night is family night. It'll just love
hey, it's
it.
For the kids.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, it's there's very few things you could have added to that. It was brilliant, and it was beautiful, Patrick Rodell. And you will do plenty more of that in the year of 2018.